Right now, as we gather, storm is gaining strength off the coast of Louisiana. Appears it's going to hit pretty soon. While we gather, the underground church in Afghanistan is being annihilated. While we gather this morning, corruption flows like raw sewage through our halls of government. Our own government has unleashed a sickness upon us. And you know what's happening? The Bible says that God in these last days is going to shake this world so that everything that is man-made will be shaken, and the only thing that will remain is those things that cannot be shaken. And then the Bible says, thank God that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Last week I began to share with you what I entitled The Secrets of the Kingdom. And I shared with you last week that Jesus' primary message was the message about the kingdom. That was everything that he talked about. It was how he started his ministry. It's how he ended his ministry. And everything that was in between was about the kingdom of God. The primary message of the kingdom of God is this: our God is the king. Jesus himself is the king. And we're trusting in him and not ourselves nor anything else. If you want something that cannot be shaken. This morning, I want to continue on in this idea of the secrets of the kingdom. And if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 4? The passage I'm going to read to you this morning is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Found in Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 8, and here in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read down beginning in verse 1 of Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to read down through the first 9 verses. The Bible says this: again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat, and he set it on the side of the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. If you got your pen, underline, circle, put a mark by that word parables there. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word would speak to us. God, that we would know your truth. God, that it would set us free today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says here in Mark chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 2, it says that he was teaching them many things in parables. If you look down to verse 34, it says this: he did not speak to them without a parable. Jesus spoke in this secret language to his listeners. He did not speak to them except without a parable. And he spoke about many things with parables. If you don't know what a parable is, then you will not get hold and grasp what Jesus is saying. Parable is not a fable. It's not teaching a moral lesson. The word parable actually means to cast alongside of, to throw it alongside of. And what it really is, it is a earthly story that has a heavenly but hidden meaning. It's an earthly story that has a heavenly but hidden meaning. Matter of fact, a parable, probably the best word for us in our language today, is the word riddle. It's a riddle that you cannot understand unless someone gives you the key to allow you to see what it means. And so Jesus here is speaking his very first parable, and he begins to speak this. And the reason the Bible says this in Mark chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" That one kind of throws us for a loop, doesn't it? Jesus said, "Listen, I'm talking in parables, and I'm going to let you in on the secret. But the reason I do it is they hear me, but they don't hear me. They see, but they don't see. They think they understand, but they don't understand. And I'm going to tell you the secret of the parable." One of the things, the reason Jesus taught in parables is because a parable does something that no other form of teaching does. It reveals the heart of the listener. It reveals the character of the listener. It reveals the type of person that the listener is. And so Jesus would speak and he would watch this crowd. And Jesus knew exactly who was in the crowd. And so Jesus here tells us something interesting. He said that, listen, some people will hear, some people can't hear, and some people will not hear. Jesus said to his disciples in verse 13, he says, "How do you not understand this parable? If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all parables?" That this is the key to understanding how things are. And listen, this is the interesting part about the Bible, is that, listen, you cannot grasp. I don't care if you got more degrees than a thermometer. It doesn't matter. Unless God reveals things to you, you cannot see things. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to them, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually." The Bible tells us here clearly, listen, you cannot understand the principles, the things of God, the secrets of God, his kingdom and his ways, unless he allows you to look in and get a grasp of what it is. And so what Jesus does, beginning in verses 13 and following, he begins to give us the key to what is happening. And so I want to share with you, there's four principal parts to this story. There is the sower. There is the seed, there is the soil, and there is the summation of all that's happening here. So those are the four main parts. The Bible says this in verse 3. It said, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed." So here the Bible says that there's this sower that goes on. And listen, who is the sower? In all three Gospels, it doesn't tell us. He's unknown. It could be anybody. It doesn't matter, really, who the sower is. But the Bible tells us there's one that goes out to sow. And then verse 3 also said, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed some seed." The Bible tells us, verse 14, "The sower sows the word." Matthew says the seed is the word of the kingdom. There's that idea again. Luke says the seed is the word of God. So we have a sower, We don't know who it is. It could be anybody. It could be a nobody. I think it's B.H. Carroll said, listen, if God's in it, it doesn't matter who's preaching. And if God isn't in it, it still doesn't matter who's preaching. So the sower can be anybody. The seed is God's holy word, the word of the kingdom, the word of the king. And then there's the soil. The Bible says in verses 5 and verse 8, it begins to talk and use that word soil. The soil is a picture and a type of the listeners that Jesus is encountering. It's a picture of people. It's a revelation of people's hearts. And so Jesus begins to tell us, and the first thing he says is this. Listen, verse 3. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. And then in verse 14, Jesus explains. He gives us the key. He gives us what you need to know. And he said this, these seeds, these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Jesus first tells us this. Listen, he reveals hearts to us. And Jesus said, listen, there is, first of all, the calloused heart. It's a picture of a path like you've seen other places where it's been beaten down and worn down, and it's just hard, and it can't be broken. It can't be turned over. It's just packed down and hard. And there's some people that just have a hard heart. They just will not listen. They don't care who it is. They don't care if it's Jesus himself says it. They boast even sometimes saying, I don't care what he has to say. The Bible says in this, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. One of the most interesting stories told in the Bible is found there in the book of Exodus. It talks about Moses going before Pharaoh over and over and over. And the judgments come down. And Pharaoh goes, okay, you can go. You can get out of here. Just please stop whatever's happening. And the Bible says, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also. Chapter 8, verse 32. But you know what happens to somebody that has that hard heart? The same thing that happened to Pharaoh. Over and over, he hardened his heart against the things of God. I'm not going to listen to the sower. I don't care what you have to say. I don't need to listen to you. And you harden your heart, you harden your heart, you harden your heart, you harden your heart. And the Bible says you become dull and you become insensitive and you become ignorant, the Bible says. But then there comes that deadline. Chapter 8, verse 32 of Exodus says Pharaoh hardened his heart. But chapter 9, verse 12 says this, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Suddenly, if you're not careful and you keep resisting the things of God and harden your heart and saying, I will not be moved, I shall not be moved, one day God says Ichabod to you, and your heart becomes a solid rock, and nothing will penetrate it. Jesus tells us, of the calloused heart. Then notice what the Bible says in verses 5 and 6. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. In verses 16 and 17, he gives us the keys, and he said, these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. We've all seen those people. There's the calloused heart, but these are the casual heart. I'll just take a little bit of God. I don't need much. And they start off like a ball of fire. But when it begins to cost them something to stand for God, they begin to fall away. When it begins to cost them something, they back up. They retreat. The Bible says they have no root. Jesus said, if you plan to build a house, you need to sit down and count the cost. Jesus said, if any man follow me, he must take up his cross and follow me daily. You know what that means? It means you give everything. You're willing to lose everything. You're willing to stand for what's right no matter how much it costs you. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that. I read an article this week how some parents were FaceTiming their children in Afghanistan who were part of the underground church, and the Taliban broke in while they were talking to them and killed every one of them in the house. Men, women, and children. And how they said just before it happened, we can tell people are praying for us because we have more boldness than we've ever had before, and it's more dangerous than it's ever been. I hate to think it, but I believe I'm right that across the South, we got a lot of casual Christians. They got baptized when they were 3, and we hadn't seen them since. Jesus said, there's a calloused heart, but there's also that casual heart. Then Jesus goes on to say this. He said, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out and yielded nothing. And in Mark 18 and 19, he tells us, the others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. There's the calloused heart, the casual heart, but here Jesus reveals to us the crowded heart. It's a heart that has got so much going on in it that it doesn't have room for Jesus. I want to tell you this morning, church, be careful about the thorns. Jesus said the thorns grow up. You know what the thorns are? The cares of this world, he said. All those things that you're worrying about and you're wondering about and you got on your mind this morning, and how's it going to happen in the morning, and what are we going to do at work, and what are we going to do there, and what about my children, what about my grandchildren? All those cares of the world, if you're not careful, they'll push God right out of your life. I had to make my mind up a few years ago, stop watching the news. You know, I heard a preacher say this one time a long time ago, and I didn't exactly know what he mean, but he said, listen, if you stay in this, not only will you know what's up, you'll be 2 steps ahead of everything else that's happening on this planet. The cares of this world are one of those thorns. Jesus said the other thorn is this, the deceitfulness of riches. Listen, the desire and the deceitfulness of riches are one of the most powerful forces on this planet. People are willing to go to jail for it. They're willing to kill for it. They're willing to steal for it. They're willing to go to hell for it. And if you live your life, entire life, trying to get ahead, I remember telling my grandma one time, I want to be as rich as Elvis. I didn't think there was anybody richer than him. And she said, Lee, even if you're as rich as him, you wouldn't be any happier. I said, well, I'd like to try and see. But if you spend your entire life climbing that ladder of success so you can have riches. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When you get to the top, you're going to find out you had your ladder against the wrong building. Jesus said the thorns, you better be careful, because that desire for riches will choke out the things of God. He said also the desire for other things. You know, it doesn't matter what we have, does it? We always want something else. I hate to even think about how many phones I bought when I had a good phone. We always want the latest. Neighbor got a boat, so you need one. They got a new car, you need one. And you know, things never satisfy, do they? I had a friend of mine who did real well in life. He told me, he said, one time I had an airplane, he said, I had a boat, and I had three Corvettes. He said, you know what I did every weekend? I washed my plane, I washed my boat, and I washed my three cars, and I never even rode in them. He said, I spent all my time just trying to keep them going and running. Jesus said, beware of these thorns. Cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things, the pleasures of life. Jesus said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Beware of the barrenness of busyness. Jesus said, listen, there are some hearts that are so hard, nothing can get through them. Satan's going to get them. There's some that are so casual, they don't really know what they're even getting into. And it's not real, because as soon as it gets real, they hit the road. But then Jesus said, there's other hearts that they have so much going on, they are so crowded with life's events and pleasing them on self and making themselves happy, searching for happiness, that they really don't have time for what I'm about. And then Jesus said this, Mark 4, verse 8, other seeds fell into good soil. And produce grain growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. But those, and then in verse 20 he explains what that means. He says, those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, they accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Jesus said, listen, there's calloused hearts, there's casual hearts, there's crowded hearts, but here is the converted heart. So all that to say, let me just kind of sum it up for you, the points that I see that are absolutely clear about this kingdom. Number one is this, the sower's only job is to sow. The sower is not responsible for the response. All God's asked me and you to do is share the truth. Now, everybody wants a response. I'd rather you run out of here mad than be there like I don't care. But Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. He said, listen, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither had he nor who plants, nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. Ezekiel 33. It actually says this two times in two different places in the book of Ezekiel. God says to Ezekiel, he said, listen, I want you to go and I want you to stand on the wall of the city like a watchman. A watchman basically was radar system in the old days. You stood on the wall and you looked out and you're waiting for an invading army to come in. He said, I want you to stand on the wall and be a watchman. And the watchman would turn around and go, hey, I see an enemy coming in. Be ready. If you're not ready, you're going to die. He said, listen, I want you to go and I want you to be the watchman. And you tell these people that I'm about to judge them and it's going to be bad. And he said this to Ezekiel. He said, you can read it when you get home. It's interesting. He said, if you tell them this message and they don't listen, the blood is on their hands. He said, but if you don't tell them, the blood is on your hands. And all we have to be, people, is the sowers of truth. And the ones who say, listen, this is what God says. The second thing I want to share with you, listen, the seed, the word of God, has inherent power in itself. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, my word shall not return void. That God's word's going to do what it's supposed to do. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes God's word encourages one and makes somebody else mad. Sometimes God's word makes one's heart get hard as a rock and makes somebody else as soft as putty. Sometimes God's word makes somebody happy, somebody else it makes somebody sad. God's word has power. The Bible says that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It goes down to the very joints and it touches and does what it's supposed to do. I think one of the biggest points of this passage of Scripture that Jesus tells us about the kingdom is this. Most people will not receive the gospel. See, when you know that up front, listen, then you don't get discouraged and you go, listen, we don't have very many people. You know why? Because most people will not receive the gospel. In this story, Jesus told only 25% did. One out of every four. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, you forget some of these passages, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter that way are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. As a sower, your only responsibility is to sow, not what people do with it. But just know this, if you sow the word of God, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. And most people will not receive it. One of the things I find interesting in the passage is this, listen, believers, those who have accepted Christ grow at different rates and produce fruit at different rates. Some 30, some 60, some 100. You know what it means? That everybody's not going to reach the same level and do the exact same things. We're not all made the same way. That we're going to be at different stages doing different things. And some of us, if we do 30-fold, listen, we've done all we can do. I only do about threefold. Lastly, God's kingdom moves slowly. You know, with the kingdom of God, it's actually, Jesus said, it's like something growing. If you walk out here right this minute and you stand out here and look through these trees, you could not tell they're growing. You're not going to see growth. You're not going to see movement, except the wind may blow them. But they're there. And God's kingdom is on the move. And it's not going to be quashed. It's not going to be stopped. It's not going to be thwarted. His kingdom is real. And you are part of that kingdom if you have received the gospel. I challenge you this week, wherever you're at, you sow the truth. You stand for the truth. And let God do what he wants to do. Let's pray. Father, We thank you that you have revealed to us these things. God, that you said you have given us the keys to the kingdom. God, you have let us know things that others will never know. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's someone here that has not received your word, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would plant it in them this morning. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would germinate that seed and cause it to grow and bring about real life in that person. Lord, there's some here that are fearful of what's going to happen in the future. God, the Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen in the future. That you are going to reign forever. The Bible says in Revelation 14, an angel came out of the temple calling with a loud voice, "Put your sickle and reap, for the hour has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." One day, Jesus, you're coming back, and you will establish all things. You'll make all things right. God, you will reign forever. And those that are part of your kingdom will reign with you. Let it begin right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me today? And we're going to make a commitment in the song that we sing this morning that we have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you're going through a valley right now. You need somebody to pray with you. I'd be happy to pray with you this morning. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus and say, "Listen, I want to be one of the ones that follow." Don't harden your heart, but you follow as the Holy Spirit speaks to you today and do what he asks you to do.